Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for your presence here. We thank you that we can just come and enjoy you and who you are. Heavenly Father, I just pray as we look at your word this morning that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Would you speak into our hearts? Would you reveal your heart to our heart in a sense of knowing who you are and what you're actually calling us to do and how to follow you? So I pray you do a great work today in us. And you begin to maybe even give some new life here today. And you bring about life where there's destruction. You bring about hope where there's despair. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful to be in your presence. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing on the Sermon on the Mount, looking at how really life can begin again for us. And so we've been walking down this journey for quite a while now. And since January, right? And been really enjoying walking through this sermon series with Dan, myself, and my small group, talking about it every week and being challenged by it for sure. All the different areas that we've been talking about. And really, as Dan kind of left off last week, he said this week is really where kind of the Sermon on the Mount begins to land, and where Jesus begins to take this sermon and bring it to a close, or at least to a decision point, I would say, today. And so it's been a challenge to actually walk through it with Dan, but also to wrestle with it, and when I bring the word to you, and this week is no exception. And there is a good reason why Dan's not here today, and it has to do with the passage he left me. He tried to make it sound like last week was the hard one, but he knows he took the right week off again. So he threw me under the bus. I sat back there. I thought it was funny, but it's more funny I get to do it to him today, because he knows why he's not here. So we'll look at this passage of Scripture. It's only two verses. He got to play with like 20-some, so I get two. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few of the words in those verses and try to figure out what is Jesus really talking about through these verses. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can do that. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you, and we'll look through that together. Well, yesterday I was in Calgary, and I was driving down the road, and we passed a church, I guess is what it said on the sign. So, you know, as a pastor, for some reason, that's things you look at. So, kind of looked at it real quick, and then took like a triple take on the sign, because the sign said, "Here we celebrate." I actually have the words down. "We celebrate the freedom of religious thought." And I thought, what church is that? So I looked again, and it was a Unitarian church. And I thought, wow, that's really convenient. You know, like, they're definitely not going to find any persecution in that church. We celebrate the diversity of, you know, religious freedom and thought. You know, come here, and you can think and feel and believe whatever you like, and you'll fit right in. And I thought, wow, that is so the exact opposite of what I'm talking about this week, and what Jesus is kind of revealing to us this week through his word. And, you know, but it's interesting, because in our society in which we live today, one of the worst things that you could have, actually, is what we would call a narrow mind, right? Or a narrow viewpoint. And so we would say of somebody, they're very narrow-minded. In other words, they believe that, you know, just this one way is what works. Or they're very convinced that they're right. Or they don't allow for, you know, anyone just to say anything. They're just very focused. They're very narrow-minded. And none of those things are positive things, right? And so if someone calls you a narrow-minded person, you don't take it as a compliment in our society at all. And yet here we come to this passage of Scripture that I'll read for you in just a second here, in which Jesus is basically being completely narrow-minded. In fact, he's saying, you need to be. You need to be narrow-minded. And I reflected back when I was looking at that sign, and we turned around and actually went back to make sure we got it right. Like, was that what we just read? And turned around, and yeah, that's what they're all about. And I went back to one of the sermons on the Sermon on the Mount, in which Dan was talking about, when he was talking about the Beatitudes, and he was talking about, blessed are those who are persecuted. And I don't remember if you caught that one, but you could go back. And we've been talking a lot about people who have been persecuted around the world. And I remember Dan talking about that and said, you know, we're not really persecuted here for our belief, right? So you can be in our society and you can believe in Jesus Christ and you can say you're a Christian, and you're not really going to get any pushback for any of that. People are like, that's okay. They're okay because our society actually buys into that whole concept of freedom of religious thought. You're allowed to do that. In fact, the only thing you're not allowed to do is say, well, I believe that is the only way to believe. Right? So as long as you believe in Jesus, that's fine. Just don't tell anyone else that they have to as well. Right? Isn't that kind of what we're talking about? And Jesus, you know, he's saying, no, this is not really what my followers are going to live like. And I remember Dan saying, you know, but if we were to go in our workplaces and we were to go in our neighborhood and we were actually to say some of the things that Jesus is saying in a certain amount, if we were actually going into our community, our friends' world, and we were speaking the words that Jesus says, which is Jesus is actually says he's the only way. He's the only truth. He is the only way to life. Any other way leads to destruction. I remember Dad saying, if you did that, even in our society today, you would start to feel some persecution, wouldn't you? People would probably abandon you. People would probably stop talking to you. People would probably say, you know what? They're very narrow-minded. Hey, if you're going to tell me that I'm living a life that's contrary, that's not right, that doesn't bring about life, that's heading to destruction, you just keep your mouth shut. I don't want nothing to do with you. Isn't that really kind of what would happen? So I remember Dan saying that, and I sat there and thought, wow, is this where we're at? Do we just believe in something, but we actually don't speak what Jesus is speaking? And so then we come to this passage of Scripture. We come here and we hear what Jesus is kind of landing his sermon. And so he comes to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And so he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many will enter through it. Sorry. They're going to help me out there. No, that's not good either. Just get me there eventually on Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. So it says, you can enter God's kingdom through the only narrow gate. I have a New Living Translation, so if you have the Bible in front of me, that's what you have. The highway to hell is broad, it says in that translation. I'll talk about it in a second. And its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. It's quite a sobering statement. Jesus is bringing it down. Now, I want to clarify real quick, and I have a little pet peeve with some translations, and so when you go through different translations, Dan's done this before, and he says some of them missed the mark and all those kind of things. So I'm the one that added the brackets. If you got your New Living Translation out, it says hell, and I want you to know that literally the word is destruction. The word is literally would be interpreted as loss or a waste or actually death. But the word destruction would actually be the best translation. The NIV translates it as destruction for sure. But then the last part of the verse, the reason I use that translation is because it's actually more accurate on the last part of the verse that talks about how it's very narrow and very difficult. And so I want to look at a lot of these hard words in this little passage of Scripture. I want to look at the words like, what does it mean to be narrow? What does it mean for the road that's wide? What does it mean for destruction? What do we mean about life and difficulties? What do we mean about this gate to the road? And so I want to talk about these different things. So let's start with this idea of just wide. What does it mean then if you were to have this thought that, hey, everyone else seems to be, the majority of, Jesus is actually saying, the majority of people out there around you in your workplace, and maybe even you, are on a wider road. The wider road is like the thought that I shared as I went past this Unitarian church, which says, hey, we celebrate this freedom concept of any thoughts of religious go, any belief system go, anything's good to go. There's no limitations. If you believe it's true for you, that's awesome. You should do that. And believe it strongly. Just keep it to yourself, and I'll keep mine to myself, and that's great, and we'll get along this way by having freedom. And so on this journey, on this wide road, you basically can take anything with you. There's lots of room. It's very wide. You can haul your trailers with you. You can take all your baggage. You can take all your toys. You can have all your stuff. There's no baggage limits. It's not like WestJet or Air Canada where they're weighing everything, saying, look, it's limited here. There is no limitations. Take everything you have with you. That's completely fine. You want to believe in, you know, materialism and that's the way to happiness, believe in that. You want to believe in sexual freedom and that's the way to happiness, that's great. You believe in that. You want to hate your enemies, that's totally cool, that makes sense. You can go that way. Take anything you want on this journey. Everything is welcome. You believe whatever you like to believe. That's okay. It's easy to stay on a wide road, right? I mean, I got two kids learning to drive, and we try to stay on wide roads. It's very stressful. It's very stressful going down residential roads with the red deer, the way they set up with those areas where there's parking on the streets, right? And there's no driveways. And sometimes we turn down those roads and it gets immediately stressful because we don't paint lines there. And so my kids sometimes forget that just because there isn't a line doesn't mean you don't stay on your side. And so they stay in the middle for fear until that other vehicle comes, right? And I'm a motorbike driver, so I'm afraid for those poor people too. But it's that scary moment. Those narrow roads, you just can't do whatever you like, right? I mean, but the wide roads, we stay on those. So we go to Edgar Industrial Area, you know, like sometime when there's no one around, which is actually really hard to find. But usually if you want to know, like Saturday night at like 7 o'clock, it's pretty wide. It's easy going there, right? There's no boundaries to worry about. There's no lights. I remember when we were on these trips with the kids, you know, I got really good at picking routes where there's absolutely no lights, no signs, no directional things whatsoever. And I thought my kids were doing really great, right? Until I said, hey, let's go somewhere. And I didn't think through this wide path idea. And we hit our first, you know, turn left on a red thing. And it was like, oh my goodness, now this is restrictive. So the wide road is really easy. There's not much to worry about. There's, you know, you're not going to bump into people a whole lot. No one's going to care what you're doing. They don't care if you're turning too slow or you're going too fast. It's just lots of freedom. There's plenty of room. And yet, Jesus said it's heavily traveled. There's lots of people going that way because it's easier. It's free. It's free of judgments. And you know what else? You're never alone. There's always people going with the flow, and you just have to keep going, and it's not hard. You just follow other people around. Well, the narrow road, the narrow path, well, Jesus talks about it, you know, it's a tiny gate. In fact, some people interpret this, and they're not wrong. It just depends on how you look at these words, you know. And sometimes in the Greek, it talks about this narrowness to this gate or this passageway, talking about it's really small. You could miss it. And some people would say it's so small that only you can fit through it. And you'd have to like strip off everything. You just can't take whatever you want with you. You know, you really do have the restraints. There's not even room for carry-on baggage on this trip. It's just, you got nothing. You gotta, you know, not take your backpack. You have to make it through this little narrow passageway. And so you don't get to take your baggage. You have to leave it behind. And so on this path, on this narrow way, you have to assess things. You have to realize and you have to say goodbye to some stuff that maybe you didn't want to say goodbye to. And so you have to assess, you know, what do I have with me? I can't take that. I got all these toys. I really wanted it. I can't take that? You mean I'm over the limit? Yes, you're over the limit. You can't take anything on this journey. And so this journey, for when Jesus encountered people and he talked about this journey, was very difficult for some, right? You have to leave that behind. Leave your nets behind. Leave your career behind. It's a very narrow, I'll teach you how to walk, but you got to let it go. Actually, you got to let that relationship go. You have to let that sin go. You have to leave it and walk away from that. No more of that. You know what? Go sell everything you have, because that's just way too much. And on this journey, there's just no room to take all your treasures with you. And so Jesus calls people into this narrow way of following him. And he says, there's just not room for all your stuff. It's restrictive. The word there, when it talks about narrow and difficult, is it's actually what they'd use when they talk about making wine. It's like your grape, and you get kind of squished down. You're pressed. You're pressed down. It's restrictive in a lot of ways. There's not freedom, actually, to have anything on in your life that you want. There's not freedom in all kinds of thoughts and beliefs. It's very narrow. It's actually saying Jesus is narrow-minded. And to follow him is to be narrow-minded as well. Now, I was just sitting here, sometimes before I start jotting notes down, which is really scary. But as Wilma was talking about Miriam, see, I realize that today's message, people are getting killed for today. Do you know that? What I'm saying today would get people imprisoned, like Miriam. That's why she's there. It's why her little son is with her in jail today. It's why she had to give birth to her child last week, I believe, in shackles. Because she believed the narrow way, and she wasn't afraid to say that's the way it is. They said to her, you could say, no, it's not the way, and you can go. She said, I just can't do that. There was another lady this week who was stoned with bricks outside of the court when they realized that she was the wrong faith and believed in Jesus Christ. So I know that I couldn't stand up and preach this message anywhere in our world today, because it is narrow-minded. It is actually following in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, where I want to make sure we're very clear is this, that we don't walk out of here, and this is what I was thinking about as God was just talking to me. What I don't want us to do is walk out of this room and start beating people over the head. You know, he used to call us as kids when we were Christians, Bible thumpers, right? Because it's what Christians were known for doing. Beating each other, other people over the head, that Jesus is the truth, he's the way, he's the life, and you repent or you're in trouble. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. You know what I think he wants us to do? He wants us to live the narrow way. Not talk about it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about it. The question is, are you living it today? Well, how do you live it? See, this is a conclusion statement, really, of Jesus, of the whole Sermon on the Mount. So it pushes us back and says, what is he talking about when he says narrow? What is he talking about the harder way of living? What is he talking about being pressed down? Well, what he's talking about is he's going back and he's saying, remember, you just can't be angry with people. That's like murder in your heart. So to live a narrow way is for us to walk out of this place and not tell people to be narrow, but it's to show them that we don't hang on to our anger and we forgive people. It's to show people that when our marriage gets tough, that we don't abandon our vows. It's to show people that we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, not by what we're saying, Because that doesn't bring about persecution and pushback. It's about living it that brings back persecution. It's saying, I'm going to live my vow regardless of how I feel. Because my vows before God are always valid in His name. It's by living out that our treasure is not on this earth. It is living in such a way that we show that we're not counting on our bank account or our retirement plan. That's not where our life is going to be based on. That's not our hope. See, we show we know the narrow way, not because of what we believe. It's by what we do because of what we believe. So we don't just give, we give with the right hearts. Other people know how to give, but we give with the proper motive. And so we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, we realize Jesus is saying all kinds of things that are very narrow and very different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world does not live that way. You do not go to financial seminars who talk to you about living for a kingdom that they can't see and planning your retirement that way and building a mansion in heaven. They're not talking about that. They think you're crazy. And you don't go to most marriage stuff out in the world. They'll talk what they did this weekend, which is, no, this is the marriage you build. This is the marriage you fix. They would say, you know what? Wipe your hands, move on, find someone who makes you happy. But following the way, following Jesus is narrow and says, no, this is my vow I made. I will commit to building here. Narrow is Jesus and following His ways. Well, what is destruction? I was thinking about that. What does Jesus mean by destruction? I actually don't, and I don't need to push this. I know a lot of people do interpret this as ultimate destruction in hell. I don't think that's what actually Jesus is talking about, but that's okay. You don't have to buy this one. And my interpretation of destruction, and when I look back at the Sermon on the Mount, is all the times Jesus talked about what happens to people when they live the wide pathway of revenge, of anger, of lust, of divorce. That's what destruction, all we have to do to figure out what he's talking about for destruction is actually open our eyes and admit by looking around us what lives look like on the highway. See, for me, I don't have to look very far. I just look around and go, I see destruction in that person's life because they're so angry. They can't function. They can't build relationships. That person's full of revenge. They're just waiting to get that person back. They're consumed by that relationship. They're all about fairness. They don't get along with anyone at work because it's not fair and they're trying to get even and it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This destruction is destroying their enjoyment of their job and destroying their enjoyment. I've seen lust and adultery destroy families and love relationships and kids and destruction. It's all over the highway and yet the society runs down that highway and says, just don't look at the carnage. This is going to be okay. I think it's just a sober person that stands up and looks at what Jesus says and says, does the highway lead to destruction or not? I look around and say, absolutely. The narrow way of committing, the narrow way of doing it Jesus' way, does it actually lead to life? Believe it does. I've experienced it. I've seen it, those who go before me. But it's interesting. Jesus says, you know what? So many people are on this highway that leads to destruction. And they just keep following the same way. So I don't think destruction is very hard to see. And I think God's heart for us is to keep us from destruction, to keep us from death, to keep us from a loss of life, to keep us from ultimately in the end being separated from Him, yes. I think His desire is all that. His heart cries out and says, get off the road. Get off that road. That is not the way for you. It is going to lead to destruction. The way that leads to life, I guess. It's interesting that the way to life is not necessarily the easiest road. The way to life is often a difficult path. And so if you go back, you can open your Bibles and you look at all the sermons that we looked at, and it'd be great to go back and re-listen to them again. Dan did an amazing job at the Beatitudes. I know a lot of you went through that, but that's talking about life. Those that get to experience life, those that get to experience the blessings of God, those that get to see Him and encounter God, that's what He's talking about when it comes to life. The pathway to life is all this other pathway. And what does it look like? It wasn't all that great, really, right? The world doesn't get excited about when you look at these things. You know, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. In other words, they're empty. They don't have anything to give to God. They're just a mess and they know it. They're broken. You know what they get? They experience life. Well, I don't know if you've ever been broken and feel poor of spirit, but it's not exactly a great feeling to get there. It usually means you've gone through a lot of stuff that breaks you to the point of saying, I got nothing to offer anything, anyone. I'm empty. Jesus says, you will get to experience life then. Come to me. Blessed are those who mourn, who know what it's like to experience loss. They get to experience life because they're grieving, and I'm going to give them something they desire. Blessed are those who are humble, that know who they are, that aren't afraid of being called a sinner. They get to experience being a child of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Why would they hunger and thirst for justice? I interpret that as go, yeah, I want justice in the world. No, Miriam knows what it's like to hunger and thirst for justice. There's people all over the world today who know what it feels like to hunger and thirst for justice. And the Beatitudes say, they're the ones that get to experience the kingdom, the blessings of God, life. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, who do the right things for the right reasons, even when everyone else says, I don't want to hear about it. And they're alone. So blessed are those who are persecuted, he said. Those are the people that experience life. And so he says, this road is difficult. That's not easy stuff. That's hard stuff. But that hard stuff, it has a path. It leads to life. Here's what you need to know about the main principle of what Jesus is saying. Roads and pathways have destinations. They all do. They all do. So the question he's saying is, which pathway are you going to choose? Now, on the path, sometimes you don't know what the destination's going to be. And so we can convince ourselves to keep walking along the pathway. But they all have destinations. For myself, this has actually been a principle in my life that has caused me great joys sometimes and great devastations. But the pathway is always there. And so you know what I've done many times in my life, for the good and for the bad, and maybe you're the same. I'm hoping you are, or I'm just sharing my stuff for no reason. What I do is I try not to think about destination. I just try to think about the moment and get through that. Okay? So that works really good for lots of good goal setting stuff. And I've accomplished some really cool goals by doing that. Going, I'm not going to think about everything. I'm just going to enjoy the moment. I jumped out of a plane that way. You know, I went skydiving. I just thought about the ride. I'm just on a plane ride, you know, and no big deal. Wow, look at the view. And I get myself to a lot of moments where eventually it's, I did this wakeboarding this summer. And I learned to wakeboard, like I said, with my kids before, but we went to actually a wakeboard park where they have ramps and stuff. And you look at that and it's like, that's really cool. I would love to do that someday. And so we went and checked it out, and the guy said, someday's today, I got a great deal for you. So I convinced myself, I forgot about the ramps and just thought, I like wakeboarding. Yeah, that would be fun. And so I just focus on putting on the wakeboard, and I focus getting in the water, and I just focus on one step and just take it all in and enjoy it, and focus on grabbing the cable and go, and I went, and then came back the next time. He's like, okay, this time we're hitting the ramp. And I chose just to tune that out. I really did. I'm good at this. Ask my wife. She's like, you just don't think about the end of the path. You're in the moment, and that's great. And I remember then when I got up on the board, and on a cable thing, see, the problem with the cable is that it's a path, and you don't have much variation in it, and it goes over the ramp. And I remember on it and heading towards the ramp, and then I thought about it. And I thought, am I actually going to do this? Because someone told me to. I blamed him. But it was really my journey that got me there. And he said, you'll hit the ramp. And I'm like, okay. And boom. And I'm going. But luckily, this happens a lot in my life. I didn't have enough seconds to decide a whole lot. So I just hit the ramp. And it was over and survived like usual. But you know what? That same kind of mentality has got me in other places. And maybe it's got you there too on the bad stuff. You know what? I know the Bible says this path leads to destruction. This can wreck things. This could wreck relationships. This could wreck, you know, my career. This could wreck, you know. But you know what? It's just the moment. No, don't think about that. Don't think about that. Just go a little farther. Just go a little farther. Just go a little farther. No, this is nothing wrong with this part. I can get in the water. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, I can get up. That's no problem. But we do this, right? And so there's a principle Jesus is saying is that pathways have destinations. And there's, when you're on the narrow path, sometimes in the moment, it's actually very hard. And so the message that he would say to some of you who are being persecuted, those that are mourning, those that are grieving, those that are going through, those that are broken, those that have nothing to offer God and just feel, he's like, you know what? It's okay. You're on the path. The path, destination's life. Keep going. It's just me. Focus on me. I'm the way. Yep, keep going. You're okay. But he also gives a warning to the other people. You know what? You're on a path where you think there's freedom, and you're just happy and you're content and you got your stuff and you're all excited because there's no limitations to you, and you're going, this is good life. This is good living. No one tells me what to do. I do my own thing. I'm free. I got relationship here, and I got this. I got everything going. And Jesus said, whoa. That road has a destination too. You're not just doing nothing. You're heading somewhere. And so he's saying, look, this is a warning call at the end of the sermon. So what should you choose? Because you need to choose it, and you need to know you're heading somewhere. So I think he would say to all of us today, you're on a path. And you are heading somewhere. Do you know which one you're on? And it's a sobering thought. But I think it's for all of us. The thing is, this isn't the first time. It's not like Jesus all of a sudden, you know, comes up with this great idea of calling people to decision. This is all throughout Scripture. And I just want to go back for just a minute, and I want to talk about how this has come up in Scripture many times with God and His people. And so in Deuteronomy, this is the command that God gives to His people that are following Him, right? I mean, they're going to be His people, and they're going to enter into the land. And so He calls and commitment. He says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and between death, between prosperity and between disaster. He's like, there's two paths here. There's two results. There's two ends. One is going to lead to disaster, one's prosperity, one's life, one's death. I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in His ways, by following Him in the path, right? If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're about to enter into occupy. But if your heart turns away, if you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods and other thoughts and other stuff, if you're thought you can just go do whatever you like, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed, that the path that you're going to head on is the other one to destruction. If you just think it's a free-for-all, if you forget to follow me, if you forget to stay on the path, you need to know the destination is destruction. Same wording, same words. You will not live long. You will not live a good life in this land. So today, I give you a choice. I want you to know ahead of time what the path and where it goes. One is life and one is death. One is blessings. One is experiencing life with me. One is experiencing the blessings and the beatitudes, the blessings that come from God. And the other one is curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, by obeying Him and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. You know, they didn't listen. They experienced death. And in the book of Joshua, we see Joshua do it all over again to the next generation. Okay, next generation, what do you choose? Before they crossed over, he said the same thing. Look, we're about to enter the land. And he warned them again. He said, look, it's life or death. It's you follow God's way and you're going to experience Him. You're going to experience the blessings of life, or you're going to go your own way. What are you going to choose? And they said, we will choose to follow Him. He said, are you sure? You've got to count the cost. And Dan's going to talk about building on the foundation. And he ends the Sermon on the Mount. Are you sure? I mean, today is decision point. And I think that also is, are you sure? Do you understand the foundation you're building? Are you willing to follow me? And that famous line, Joshua, as for me and my house, I choose today to follow the Lord. So what is your choice? What do you choose? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this narrow way? What are you going to do with these topics he's talked about? What are you going to do with your baggage? Are you going to hang on to your anger? Are you going to hang on to your revengeful thoughts and hoping that God will get that person back? Are you going to hold on to those relationships you're playing with over here? The lust that you got on the side over there, outside of your marriage. Maybe those relationships you're just hoping, you're just playing with. Maybe my marriage won't work out, so I got to keep my fingers in the other pies. And the anger that you can't let that person go. The judgment that you've held on somebody. Jesus said, you know, you're holding judgments on people and you're not experiencing life and you won't experience forgiveness, you won't experience grace because you just can't let that person go for what they did. Look at your stuff. Just focus on your stuff and deal. But you keep looking at that person. Are you going to let that go because you can't fit with that? You can't go down this narrow road with your stuff. You know, I know you're counting on this great retirement plan to make you happy, but you can't take that on this journey. You just can't. That's not how I want you to live. I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. I don't want you to think that way. Are you going to let that go and follow me? What do you choose? Am I enough? Am I the way? Am I the truth? Am I life? Or are you trying to hang on to some other stuff? Because there's just two paths. And one of them leads to experiencing God and life and the kingdom. And one experiences eventually destruction and loss. So what do you choose? All paths have destinations. All paths will lead somewhere. At the end of, you know, at this point, I don't think everyone understood in the audience that Jesus was speaking to what he was talking about. And the disciples sometimes were often confused what he was talking about. And in John 14, when he's just spending time with the disciples, and he's telling them that, you guys know where I'm going, and I'm going away. And they're like, time out. We don't know. And I just think Thomas is just great there in John 14. He says, no, Lord, stop. We don't know where you're going. He says, you know where I'm going. He's like, no, we don't know. We have no idea how to get there. Why do you keep saying this? And Jesus says, Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. There's no other way. No one gets to the Father except through me. Just stick with me. follow me on the way. I'll get you there. I think for us, it's just, some maybe are here today and saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the way. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'll teach you. I'll walk with you. I'll go with you. You just need to stick with him and you will get there. He's the gate. He's the gate. He's the only way to the Father. It's not good works. It's not trying your best. It's not cleaning up your life. It's accepting and coming broken and empty before him and saying, Jesus, I need you to be the gate. I need you to be the truth in my life. I need you to be my way. And I need you to be my life. An amazing thing about the gospel is that he doesn't just say, now go do it. What we get to do is do life with him. And I think that gets you experience life today. And not just life that's going to come someday in the kingdom, that's going to be there in heaven and all that great stuff too. But it's actually today we get to experience the kingdom of God by starting through the gate. And so we're coming to communion. And this is the time when we recognize that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And communion table does not represent that it's the easy way. The elements on the table are about sacrifice and brokenness. The juice represents spilled blood. The broken bread represents broken body. Jesus says, the way is narrow and it is difficult, and I've already walked it for you. Now just follow my voice. So we're going to come to there. And maybe this decision point, maybe there's baggage you've been thinking, you know what? I can do both paths. I can keep my anger and my stuff and my revenge and my, you know, all this hopes that I have for this. You know, I can hang on to all this stuff and I can go this other path. And I just don't think you can. Jesus is calling you today for decision. The word, when he says, this is the way, it's actually in the Greek, it's an invitation. The word should be, it just doesn't translate very well, is come to the narrow way. Come to the gate. Come to the path of life. It's an invitation for anybody and everybody today. And so we're going to have communion. Maybe you've never made that decision before to follow Jesus. And maybe you don't know how to do it or how to get there. It's okay. He's the way. He'll show you. Scripture in Psalm 1 says, surround yourself with those who love him and lean on his word and depend on his word. And he will guide you there. So I'm going to pray. And what we're going to do is we're going to have time of communion together. And this is a time, maybe if it's a recommitment, that Heavenly Father, I want to be on the way. Through Jesus, you're the way. And so what we're going to do is it's a come forward. And we always say it's a little bit chaotic, but we always make it through. And what we're going to do is kind of, if you all kind of go out of your rows this way, it helps. And then you come through a table and then head up the other way. We'll figure it out. Okay, so I invite you, if you've never had communion before and you're not sure about whether or not you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you can make that decision today by coming forward and say, I choose him to be my way. And you can do that. You're invited to come. It's not Crossroads table, it's his table. If you're unsure and you don't want to participate, that's fine. You can just stay in your seat and totally be respected for it. Well, let's bow and have this time together. Heavenly Father, we recognize today that we can't do life well. Heavenly Father, we understand that you have said that you're the way, the truth, and the life. Heavenly Father, we admit today that you've done it for us. You went the hard road. You went the way of persecution. You went the way of grieving. You went the way of mourning. You went the way of suffering so that you could lead the pathway to life. Heavenly Father, thank you for offering us the gift of life. Would you help us down the path to following you now. So many things we hang on to in our life that would lead us to destruction. Relationships that would destroy us. Love of money that would destroy us. Anger that would destroy us. Hatred that would destroy us. Revenge that would destroy us. All this stuff that you long for us to let go of, would you show us today that we need to let it go and what it is we need to let go to continue to follow you down the path to life? Would you guide? We don't know how to get there. So teach us to follow you in your ways. We thank you for what you've done on the cross as we come before you today. And we accept the gift of your life on the cross to pay for our debt, for our sin. By the shedding of your blood, we realize that only you could cover our sin. We accept that gift today. Heavenly Father, we recognize by the broken bread that this was a difficult thing. It took brokenness. It took loneliness. But Heavenly Father, you paved the way that we might have life. So we thank you for the gift of your brokenness. Blessed to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.